Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
Guillermo Mash here from the Plaza on the 21st of February. I came over here I got a couple more questions for Grant for the interview that we're airing, but I was really blessed that another friend of mine out here, Eric, had approached me about getting indoors, and he talked a little bit about chat and some other things. So what's on your heart, Eric?
Well, I do want to get off the street now, and I'm ready for it. You got to be ready to get off the street and maintain a normal life, like society would say, and find the right people with this chat program and a house where everybody's pretty much normal, whatever that is. At least somebody's not staying up all night running around in circles and driving everybody nuts, or somebody's drunk and, you know, going off the hook. You know, just normal people, like, all in moderation. But we talked about that one. You can't have murder in moderation, you know.
I have nothing but wonderful things to say about the chat program. It's amazingly maintained, you know, it's self-managed, and you've got your own space. Now, what about emergency shelters here in Chico, like the Torrey shelter? What's the deal with those? Why aren't you in one of those?
Well, the problems I have with those is every time I go and get around people, a lot of people, I end up sick with, I have to go get antibiotics, and then all of a sudden I'll get over it 2 weeks, and then I get it again for another 2 weeks. Like, so a whole month I'm ill with having to go to the doctor and feeling miserable, and that's just the germs and everything around all the people. I'm susceptible to it, so I really have a hard time with that one.
Mm-hmm. So, does it make you anxious being around, you know, a dorm full of people and all that stuff over at the Torrey shelter? Or?
It all depends what kind of moods people are. I'm sort of like, you know, I got a sixth sense about things, and sometimes it gets like drama and all that, where you can feel all the depression of people just aggravated with their life and how it's going and that. And some ways I can feel all that. It's like a big, you know, a big just lump sum of drama, and I don't like the feeling of it. It makes me nervous.
Now, you have income, right? So you'd be able to put some money towards housing, correct?
Absolutely, and that's what I'm willing to do, reasonable, and have other roommates in a house that are, you know, also can hold their end, and people that are ready for the program like I am, and the drug thing is a drug-free situation, yes.
You were saying you've got some pretty significant milestones as far as being, quote-unquote, hard drug-free. Maybe you could share that with our listeners.
Well, a lot of things I really didn't want to do. I thought they would suffice. Other things that were wrong, things were said about me by people that just wanted to just be mean and this and that, and made up lies about me. So I had a lot of problems with people looking at me funny and everything else, and thought I was something I wasn't, which is that person's gone now. I caught up with them. He started coming back at them, and they knew better than anybody to get out of town before I really did catch up with them. So, but that's over now. When I confronted it and finally found out what it was all about, I haven't heard a thing since about it, but it did waste a couple of years out of my life just with people thinking the wrong thing about me, about bearing false witness against my neighbor, a terrible lie that was said about me.
Maybe for some closing comments, if you got some words of wisdom for folks that are in a similar situation as you are, Eric. You seem to be like early 50s. You've been chronically homeless for some time. I think I've known you most of the time I've been here in Chico. What would be your words of advice for people struggling to survive and keep their dignity?
Well, actually, I'm late 50s, so thanks for the compliment. I really appreciate that. But I would say just, you know, after you run around in circles and you're done with the, you know, things that are getting more tight with the police fighting you this today or that way and coming up with camping tickets and everything else, best thing to do is get an income like GA, get food stamps and that, so you can start off with that. If you're able to work, you know, through the welfare program, I did get work there a couple times when I first was here, and maybe it's the same. I don't know. I haven't been there. I've been on Social Security. So I would say just, you know, get off the streets as fast as possible. The sooner the better, so things can fall in place for you. And maybe a loved one that can help support some of that income along with you.
All right, Eric. It's always a pleasure talking to you and seeing you in such a fine mood.
Well, thank you, and I am in a fine mood today. But just because I might not feel the same tomorrow doesn't mean I'm bipolar.
Yamo Mash here with the February 21st edition of the Without a Roof Radio program. And we had a passing of someone that almost made it to 100, the Reverend Billy Graham. And I wanted to look up some of his poverty, some of the work he did on poverty, do a little reading in remembrance of Billy Graham. Is it true that Jesus said we will always have poverty in the world? What did he mean by that? Does this mean we shouldn't even try to help people who are poor? I thought Christians were supposed to help people in need. Jesus wasn't saying we shouldn't fight poverty. This is up billygraham.org. Jesus wasn't saying we shouldn't fight poverty or help those in need. Not at all. He was only giving a description of the way the world actually is, not the way it should be. The Bible repeatedly commands us to help the needy and condemns those who takes advantage of the poor. God told his people in the Old Testament, I command you to be open-handed towards the poor and the needy in your land, Deuteronomy 15:11. Jesus told his disciples to sell your possessions and give to the poor. There's no stronger message in the Christian Bible in regards to poverty. The worst form of violence is not what we want in a God-fearing land. So here we are at the Without a Roof Radio program. This is Guillermo Mash. You want to find out more about Without a Roof? Google us. We come right to the top. And we have a show. Last week we had some issues that needed to be worked through, and today we do as well. But as almost like the Billy Graham quote, a lot of times I think I'm led or I'm in places I need to be, and I'm in the place I need to be in regards to this. You'll hear the interview with the gentleman that was written about on Chico First with information that was given by the executive director of the Tory shelter in what I see as clear violation of privacy trust. But I went back to talk to Grant to get some final follow-up questions with him. And it was a real blessing because there was a lot of discussion in this Chico First Facebook post by Rob Berry about, you know, how to do outreach and, you know, stuff like that. But there was someone in the plaza that I've known for quite some time, and it's a really compelling interview. And that's the one you just heard from Eric. And Eric had reached out to me, literally moved his finger like this and wanted me to get some assistance in getting him some housing. And he wanted to share his story. And I really hope that you enjoyed listening to it. And the other one that was a beautiful thing that kind of cements the integrity of journalism and the integrity of what I have done for the last 6 years. My primary audience is the person I'm speaking to. And it was a beautiful encounter with someone that's staying at the Sabbath House. And she's been in there 3 months. Huge shout out to the Sabbath House. This is a chronically homeless woman of my age. And she just looks so happy and healthy, but she's extremely private, just like Grant is. And, you know, she said, I don't want to be interviewed. But she gave me a big hug and we talked and, you know, and it was a blessing. What I can say, this woman was the woman that was harassed by the police in this Without a Roof vignette 3 years ago here on the Without a Roof radio program.
What up, John? What did we just see here?
Okay, so we saw this cop, right? And he was all like telling this homeless lady, hey, you got to move you and your cart because you can't be sitting here after you ate your meal. But there was a lady and another lady sitting down and he didn't tell them. So I asked him, hey, why are you harassing the homeless person and not telling these people over here not to keep going on? And he told me to not worry about it and I should quit talking to him. And yo, dude, he's a peace officer, man. I just want to know. I just want to know. Come on now. Why are the home free kids getting harassed? She was a lady, though. So she wasn't really even a kid. She was just a sweet little elderly homeless lady. Man, that really grinds my gears.
Didn't he say shut your mouth?
Oh, something like that. I thought he said burn my mouth, but I guess you told me it was shut my mouth. But
all right, man. Any final comments?
Authority? Man, John gave you authority. Start acting of it. Treat it's a privilege. Don't be abusing it now. John, love and guide and protect you on your adventure now. positive vibrations all around you.
All right, shout out to my friend Adam DuBose for sticking up for this woman. And the irony of the story is I'd actually had a couple extra bucks, and I literally was the one that gave her the money so she could get some of that really cool Pluto's mashed potatoes. And then another stroke of irony, I went to a court date with a homeless person for a ticket, and who do I run into but that same Chico Highway Patrol person that was so abrupt and rude and obnoxious to this woman simply because she looked poor on the streets of Chico. All right, we're going to get you into the show here. We've got a good show. We're going to hear from Grant. I've already given you the teaser for that. But right now, we're going to hear from Country Day faculty about their eighth grade school project called Abandon that centers on poverty and homelessness here in Chico, here on People Power Radio. Yeah, my match here for the February 21st Without a Roof Radio program. And as we've been doing for the month of February, most of the days, we have three of the faculty members from Chico Country Day School who are working on an eighth grade project called Abandon around homelessness. And we have Mary Jean Burchard, Thomas Barbera, and Dave Eubanks. Welcome to KZFR, everyone.
How's it going?
How are we doing?
We're doing great, guys. We're going to start with Mary Jean because you were so excited. You had your TV face on kind of talking about, you know, how everyone felt in the class, hearing themselves on the radio and reading the Homeward Street Journal, you know, actually having a street newspaper in their hand. Why don't you give our listeners a little insight on that, Mary Jean?
Sure. So last week we had some great opportunities to bring different kinds of media into our classroom. We listened as a whole eighth grade class. So 60 of our students were all together listening to the radio program that Riley and Malia were on last week. It was just a great experience for them. I could tell that they were a little embarrassed, but actually really proud to have their peers hear what they had to say and just to listen to your program. So it was unique and a really cool experience. Also, last week I had my students reading the Homeward Street Journal, which is just a really cool experience for them because so often in our computer tech world today, we don't read the newspaper. And I think a lot of those kids had not read, mm-hmm. maybe ever read a newspaper. Mm-hmm. So I had them holding their newspapers up and we had all our computers out. And it was just really cool to see. It was fun for them to experience media in a different way. And we were reading the Homeward Journal because we had students write for the Homeward Journal. We have what they wrote.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And then, you know, I'll say for our listeners, we're going to give Mary Jean, we're going to have her stash 100 copies for the exhibition. And then we're going to give 50 copies to the class. But March, middle of March or so, we'll get all the papers and they'll be able to see what they wrote. That'll be cool as heck. So you're going to do some reading here for us, Thomas?
So I wanted to go ahead and share with the listeners what our students wrote for the paper, the Homeward Street Journal. So Mary Jean and I, we did the introduction and then I'll read some of the students' parts. So it says, be good to each other and do work that matters. This is the why behind our teaching at Chico Country Day School. The location of our school within the greater community of Chico, California, lends itself to teachers and students frequently seeing homeless people going about their lives in purgatory. Many people turn a blind eye to this issue, but as teachers, we feel like doing work that matters has to address the problems and hardships homeless people face, especially in our community, where our students can make a tangible impact on the problem. This year, our eighth grade science project combines science, history, math, and English with the hope of one main outcome, empathy. Through research, community involvement, and the creation of a product or system, our students hope to make a change for our homeless population in our community. We asked a group of young women in our eighth grade classes to write about their experiences in the project thus far. This is what they said. This project has allowed me to gain so much insight into the lives of the homeless people surrounding us. I had no idea how easy it was to become homeless. So many of the people living on the streets have no control over the factors that led them to being homeless. I'm looking forward to continuing this project, and I hope our class can make a difference in our community. Sophie. Starting this project shows me that you should be grateful. Some people do not have anything and do not get to have three meals a day or take a shower or even have somewhere to sleep on a cold winter's night. Quincy. During this project, I have learned about the struggles of the homeless community, not just here in Chico, but at the state and national level as well. I've read about the hardships of different women all throughout the country and how they built a life for themselves and what lessons they have learned from their years on the streets. I'm looking forward to finding ways to help these people because this problem of homelessness needs help and attention. Harper M. I have learned how homeless college students cope with school. I have learned about the differences between community colleges and universities and the differences in expenses the students deal with on a daily basis. Caitlin. We have recently been learning about homelessness within our community and worldwide. I was surprised about the statistics and stories. I noticed that the number of homeless youth is rising each year. This is a serious problem for our generation. What can we do to help? Harper S. While researching, it has become obvious to me homelessness can happen to anybody. Even with the supporting programs, it can sometimes seem impossible to dig out of the deep hole of homelessness. It is shocking to hear about everyday families becoming homeless almost overnight, and it's terrifying to think about how easily I could be put in that situation. Heather. I can admit I avoid homeless I see daily, within 50 yards of my school. Through this project, I'm starting to understand their situation, and it is time to make a change in my community. Kenna. So we just thought that was something really cool to have the students write about their own experiences thus far on the project and kind of see how their empathy is starting to build towards this topic and towards this issue in our community.
Yeah, it was a real special thing for me because it was kind of a crazy day. And that's good teaching skills for Mary Jean. She submitted the day before the deadline, so I wasn't even expecting it. She sent it on the 14th. It was so beautiful to read what the students had written, and they don't have any preconceived notions. You know, they're kind of an open book. I mean, I'm sure they've seen or heard things, but it really came through in their writing that they're really taking a pause going, you know, what have I learned since the class started?
Yeah, it's been really great to just see their research and their experiences thus far really come through with their writing. What's really awesome about this week, actually, is that we're continuing that writing process. So last week, we kind of went through the outline and the research of our papers. This week, they're going to be working on their rough drafts with Mary Jean and I. And so then we're going to move forward and start looking into products and systems and how we kind of help from that standpoint. And so this week, we're going to meet with Chat, and we have a guy coming in, and he's going to give us a presentation on what they do in the community and going to talk to our students for about an hour. And then we'll have a better idea as teachers what we need to do going forward there.
All right, Thomas Barbera. I think we got Dave Eubanks, and you're a science teacher, right?
Yes, Mr.
You're the science. Mary Jean's English, and you are
social science.
So, Dave Eubanks, you're the tiny house guy, right? Did I get that right?
That's me. I'm the tiny house guy. So I teach science. One of the big areas that the new science standards have brought in is a large component of engineering. And as we're moving through our homeless project, we're looking to give our students opportunities to engineer products or services in the community that can help the homeless situation in Chico. One way that we wanted to extend this project is not just between the students at Chico Country Day and the homeless community at Chico, but also bring in other entities in Chico that can help support our students in the creation of the services and products. An example is the Tiny House Project, where we are currently seeking donations from building supply companies and local builders to help us with the fabrication of our tiny houses. This coming Thursday, we are going to kind of get the insights on the specs that CHAP looks for in their homes. And once we get the kind of general idea of the construction materials and the parameters in which this particular organization wants their structures to be, then we can start being more specific on the donations that we're looking for. But we think it'd be just a really kind of comprehensive way of pulling multiple different facets from the community together to not only create awareness for the community, but also to have the community be involved in the solutions.
So is the intent to have tiny houses ready for exhibition that you can donate to Chico Housing Action Team? What's the timeline? Is that the timeline?
That is the timeline.
Wow, that's pretty fast.
It's fast, but I built houses for 15 years.
You did?
Yeah, I built a lot of the custom homes up in all around Chico. So between me, Mr. Barbera, and some of the faculty that we have at school, we pretty much have that covered.
All right. We're pretty much at our time limit for this little segment here with the faculty at Chico Country Day School and their eighth grade class project. We would have had students here today, but this is one of their days off. This is like staff day only. So, superintendent, if you're keeping track of the staff time, they're here. I can say they came in here to the radio station. Any closing comments from any of you or all three of you?
I guess we just wanted to say, just in general, thank you again for this platform. And we're just really excited. I mean, I'm kind of tearing up a little bit, but just what's happening with our students. I think the more aware they're becoming of their community and the more empathetic they're becoming towards people in our community, it's also helping them with so many other things. And it's just really nice and awesome to see. So.
Yeah, the self-esteem and leadership skills of many.
Well, they're the future leaders of our community, and the growth and the awareness of, well, basically their empathetic view of all the different members of the society or the town, you know, it's just really important. And it really sends, I think, the right message that we're going in the right direction.
All right, I'm here with Grant down at the Plaza. I've known Grant for a couple of years, and I just spoke to him about one of these posts in Chico First. And the thing I love about Grant is, one, he's a good community member. He helps out down here in the Plaza. I've never seen Grant doing anything but just and right things. And Grant's a really private person, and I really respect the fact that I've explained this situation to Grant, and he's willing to kind of share his thoughts, because I've asked Grant over the course of a couple of years, how about a photo or be interviewed? And I've respected him and his privacy and the fact that he didn't want that taken. So you had some beautiful words around, you know, why you're out here. So maybe you could expand on that real quick.
Well, I was kicked out of the shelter because they found out my hands are lethal weapons. And actually, I didn't hurt nobody. The guy was messing with me. He practiced on a couple boards one day. And I said, can I take a hit at him? And I broke both of them with one hit. And he ran in there and said that I was going to beat him up. And that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. I didn't say I was going to beat him up. Mm-hmm. Not at all. I just said, you know, can I have a shot of that? And he ran in there all scared. And so they ran me out of there saying that I was a bully and everything else. And I'm not a bully. I'm just a normal person. I'm not a mean person at all.
Yeah, I see that. I see that in your face right now. But that's a lot of the stories that don't get told about the tourist shelter. It's tough. You're living in a dorm. You've got all the dynamics of the different people that you're living with. And you've got people there that like to cause trouble. Would you like to say anything around that? Or?
Yeah, that's the problem, is they don't take out the troublemakers. A lot of the troublemakers in there, you know, they buy their way in with people that are in there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, actually, the tourist shelter is a lot of drug shelter, if you ask me. There's a lot of things that go on in there that people don't even understand or won't say anything, put it that way.
I'm going to stop right here and let you read this. Yeah. Let me let you read this, and then we'll continue the interview about what was posted about you, Chico First. This was original post. Comments have been ongoing. Original post, Rob Berry, Chico First, January 29th, about 10:30 p.m. Update on Grant. As you know, Grant was taken in by the Tory shelter last week. I was told that on the weekends, residents have to leave by 6:45 a.m. and can return by 4:30 p.m. There were some concerns as to how to handle him over the weekend, so I agreed to take him to lunch on Sunday. On Saturday, I was told that Grant had left earlier and didn't come back Saturday. On Sunday, I searched around for him in the shopping centers, behind the stores, and at 20th Street Park. By 1 p.m., he was not in the Plaza when I drove by and saw the crowd there. When I returned at around 2:30 to shoot the video of the crowds gathered there for the free food, I noticed Grant sitting in his regular place at the chess tables. I went over and sat down and talked to him about how we had been looking for him. He had walked from the Torres to the Plaza. I asked him why he left and what he wanted to do. Did he have plans? At first he said, well, I just have to get out of Chico somehow. When I asked how, he didn't know. I told him that if he had friends or family somewhere, we could get him a bus ticket, but not if he was just to go without anyone on the other end. He seemed to understand. Finally, he said that the people there had told him he had to leave, and so he left. I'm assuming this horror shelter here. That didn't make sense, as I knew for a fact that he was welcome to stay there. In our conversation, he made it clear he wanted to go back. I assured him he was welcome to do it, and I would make arrangements. Joy is the executive director of the Tory shelter, came by and picked him up, and soon he was back in his bunk at Torres. I figured it was some kind of misunderstanding, was pleased I got it straightened out. Today I was told that Grant had left once again. There is no doubt that he understood that he was welcome to stay at Torres until something better could be worked out. Apparently, he had other plans or needs or something. I have no idea what is really going on. While we all hoped for a happy ending here, this is not going to be a simple story. Given the seeming perfect fit
between Grant and the Tories, it's a puzzle that I don't get. Others I know predicted such a turn, I didn't. In this instance, shelter and services were not an issue. They were there for the taking. Yet somehow for Grant, the alternative seemed more compelling. No one, perhaps including Grant, knows what comes next. I will continue to try to follow along and provide updates when I have them. I am wishing Grant good luck and good fortune.
So I'm back here with Grant to finish the interview. I had two questions. One is specific to your personal information and your situation being communicated on this Facebook page. Is that something that you were expecting Rob Berry to do? Or?
Well, I'm really unhappy with it. They put me out as like a beast or something that I'm going to beat up somebody or something like that, and I'm not going to beat up anybody. Mm-hmm. I have no reason.
So you shelter, what the Tory shelter did to you?
Exactly. They put me out as like a beast, and I'm not. I'm a very kind individual.
So you don't agree with being 86 from the Tory shelter?
No, not at all.
The last question is, the first question I had was actually around what you just read in Chico First. That's private and confidential information. It looks like the by this post that the Tory shelter has been sharing your personal experiences. Under my view of looking at this, false pretenses. I mean, are you okay with Rob Berry, you know, taking you out for movies and then posting personal stuff about you on his Facebook page?
No, not at all. Actually, that's private information. Should have never been released at all.
What do you think his intent was for the way he wrote that up? What did you get out of it?
His intent was to get readers to read it and actually make money off of it. You know, I think that's what it was, to tell you the truth. It wasn't to help me at all. It was to help him.
All right, any closing comments, Grant?
Well, actually, what they need to do is get somebody in here that knows how to run the Tory shelter, because this is actually paid for by the federal government, but it's run by the state. And actually, they need to have somebody come and look at this, you know, by the state, and actually go through and see what they're doing. You know, I don't know where else to go or what to do or what to say, but they need to have somebody come in and look.
What about Safe Space? Have you thought about that?
Safe Space? It's out there, but, you know, it's just depends on who picks you up and where you got to go sometimes. And, you know, I don't even know where those places are at, to tell you the truth, you know, because you have to go down to the tourist shelter to catch the bus out to Safe Space.
You go to Calgary on Broadway, I think like 5 o'clock, but I'll follow up with you again. A little bit more, Grant. Thanks for being on KZFR, and thanks for sharing your story about this post by Rob Berry on Chico First.
You're welcome, and thank you.
I actually had to dig in a little bit personally myself to kind of understand why I was so upset about what had been posted on Chico First and the bridge in trust with the Tory shelter, and it hit me, and it hit me hard. And it hit me hard. I volunteered 6, maybe 7, 8 times at Chico Safe Space. And I literally, all 3 times that this has happened, I can see these people's faces in front of me. One was a lady, elderly lady, very ill. She was staying at Safe Space because she couldn't stay at the Tory shelter. There was another family with 2 small kids that couldn't stay at the Tory shelter. And then there was someone that I've known for a couple of years, 4 or 5 years, almost the whole time in Chico, who was kicked out for being a little bit late to the Tory shelter, and I physically had to console her at the Safe Space not that long ago. But the thing that's discerning to me about this, all of these conversations is kind of like the hush conversation. Like, you know, we can't dare ask the Tory shelter what they're doing and why they're turning people away and why they're doing the things that you'd listen to in this program today. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm going to write a letter to the board, and I'm not letting this go. I want to offer my professional skills as an auditor and someone that understands designing processes and checking processes. If they're going to be holding people as accountable as they are, and in Chico, the deal is, if you can't get in a Tory shelter, you must be broken. I can actually remember from the Host Home Project from years ago, that one of the persons in that going, we're only going to take people that the Tory shelter lets in because we want to make sure that people follow the rules. Well, if they can be so arduous towards people of dramatic need and turning people away and shunning people's opinions about what's going on in the shelter, you know, maybe they should turn that mirror back on themselves and put as much quote unquote responsibility on themselves as they do on their clients. You know, I must add to round the piece out, I have reached out to Joy Amaro, the executive director, numerous times today. I have not heard back. I'm just going to assume that she's really, really busy and that we can have a good conversation around some of the issues that I see in others with the Tory shelter. All right, I'm done. Next up, Non-Human Radio. Always a big shout out to Jeannie and Danny and for for making most of the shows I produce are 32 minutes, but I'm going to get this one in at the bell. Anyway, thank you for listening to the What Out of Oof Radio program.